The Gospel according to Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take what is the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home, found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on them. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven. He sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened. His tongue was released and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Excuse me while I wet my palate. I felt like the one who can speak well, I think. I don't... Grace and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ and from the men who I serve in the prison in Shelton. Crazy as it may sound, I'm blessed to be there. I kind of love my call. It's a love-hate relationship. I don't know if you're familiar with those. I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And you know, when I look back on my life, I can tell that God had kind of trained me up to be where I'm at. You see, when I was very young, I didn't grow up in the church. And when I was still a toddler, my parents got divorced. And as I grew up with many different father figures in my life. And was abused many times in different ways growing up. The men who I work with, I have often the blessing of hearing their stories. And they put my stories to shame. This week I sat down with a man who told me, excuse me for a second. Who told me that when he was 8 years old, the man he knew to be his father shot him. And he showed me the scar that went through his leg, and he told me it took him a year to figure out how to walk again. And when he was 10, his mother called other people that he had never seen before, asked him to come and take him away. He also relayed to me the many times that CPS had come and his mom told him to lie. Tell him it was an accident. And how when things didn't go right, then his mother would get mad at him again. And when he was 10, three people showed up to his door that he didn't know and took him to California to be with his birth father that he had never met. And he ran away from being with that man to be back with his mother. And he went through his teens being moved back and forth between the two places, growing up with different family members. But his story is not unusual for the men I work with. And not, it just, I feel like, is a social commentary to some degree. The story today that we have in the gospel is a story where Jesus wants to get away from the crowds. So he heads to Gentile territory, to a place called Tyre. I pronounce it differently every time I say it. Same with Sidon. So he goes to Tyre, and he's there, and a woman hears that he's there. And this woman has heard about Jesus. And she approaches Jesus, apparently in daylight, and falls down at his feet and begins to beg him to heal her daughter. Now, it's pretty disruptive when we hear Jesus call somebody a dog. Any women kind of like that idea? I actually read the New King James last night, and it frames it a little different. This, in the Greek, is the diminutive form of dog. In other words, little dog, puppy. And we really don't know if Jesus is addressing the woman or addressing the daughter who is ill with a demon at home. But whoever wrote the NRSV and translated it said, no, he's talking to the woman, not to the daughter. And they use dog. And it looks like Jesus is addressing this woman who's coming to beg him as dog. I just want to say, it may not be that way. But it very well may be that way. For a woman to approach a man in public during the day, basically she represented herself as promiscuous. At least in the views of the society in general, she should not have done that. That was taboo. The only women that would approach men at that time and talk to them and engage them, start the conversation, were those who were sexually promiscuous, to put it nicely. So, for whatever reason Jesus calls dog, or if he's calling her dog, or her daughter the little dog or puppy, whatever the reason was, and we're not really sure, she doesn't argue the point. She says, even the dogs, receive the crumbs from the children's table. And what you don't pick up in the Greek, or in the English, is what's in the Greek, in that when Jesus addresses the children, he's talking about the people of Israel. When she says children, she says it in the broader sense. That it's not just the immediately family that are in the house, it's also the servants, the others who are in the house. You know, in Psalm 24... the psalmist writes, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. And this is the first Gentile that we have, the individual. And Mark makes it very clear, this is a Gentile woman. One who doesn't believe the same. One who is an outsider to the Jews. And she comes beseeching Jesus, not for herself, but for another. And Jesus heals. The second story, Jesus ends up going to the Decapolis on the way to the feeding of the multitude. The second feeding, right? We had a feeding just about a month ago that we read. This feeding is in Gentile territory. There's no other reason to put it in there. He's going to the Decapolis, the region of the 10 cities. Decapolis, Decapolis, 10 cities. And on the way, he goes out of his way to the Decapolis. You see, Tyre, see if I can do this. Sea of Galilee, right, flows down. Dead Sea, see if I can get this right from your perspective. Jerusalem, Mediterranean, Tyre, Sidon, Decapolis region. So Jesus is going north in order to go south and east. Some commentators say maybe the author of Mark really wasn't sure about the geography of the region when he wrote this. I view it that Jesus went out of his way to people who were in need. And he goes out of his way and he encounters another group of people that bring along their brother and says, touch him, heal him. He can't hear, he can't speak. And it's one of the great stories. It's confusing, right? Jesus sticks his fingers in the man, pulls him away in private, sticks his fingers in his ears, spits, grabs hold of his tongue, looks up to heaven and says, be opened. And the man's healed. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know my Jesus? The Jesus that doesn't care what society says about you. You may be the lowliest of the low, have no social status at all. Do you know my Jesus? The one that reaches to those who need help. You notice Jesus didn't say, how do you believe? Do you believe, right? You know, you're not really a Jew. Do you believe in God? Jesus, you're the healer. Can you touch my daughter? Can you touch my friend? You know my Jesus. Maybe some of you grew up in situations where society has told you you're not worth anything. Maybe some of you feel like you're too far off the beaten path, out of the way for Jesus to touch, to come and heal. I want you to know. No, I want to tell you a story. When I was in England, I was in the military for 21 years. One of the many ways that God has prepared me for the ministry I'm now doing. And it was either fall or spring. It was a time of transition. And the birds were coming and going. And I was at a place where I was getting my car worked on. And I heard these two women come in and they could describe the birds, not because by their sight anymore, but they knew the sound that they made. And they knew the order in which the birds came and went. And I was just amazed at the knowledge that these women had. And whatever God moved upon my heart, and I said, Lord, Lord, I want these people to know you intimately. I want them to be touched by you. And I heard a voice and it said, there's too late. And I didn't like that. I rebuked that voice and I started praying. And I prayed probably as fervently as I've ever prayed in my life for several minutes. I mean, just two women that I didn't even know. And I continued to pray maybe for 15 minutes. And it reached a point and I said, God, I will give my life in exchange for those two women. And I was sincere, and I had my wife at home and two kids. She probably wouldn't have liked that too much. I didn't hear anything, and I continued to pray and prayed for probably another 5 or 10 minutes. And it reached a point, and I said, God, I will give my life. If it takes my life in exchange for just one of those women, Lord, I want you to touch them. I want you to save them. I want you to do something so they know your reality, your love. And then a voice spoke very clearly, that's how much I love you. If you were the only one that would be saved because Jesus went to the cross and spilled his blood for your salvation, then Jesus would have done that just for you. So if you feel like you're the lowest of the low, know that God has a different message for you. You are His cherished child. The apple of His eyes, who He counts the numbers of hair on your head and has ordained your steps, that you go through life not alone, but God goes with you. And when you feel like you're off the beaten path, know that you're never too far. Jesus will come to be with you. In fact, He has never left you. Many of the men I work with come from those stories where that reality of Jesus has not been a reality in their lives. You are part of that ministry through your prayers and through your financial support. And I thank you because you blessed us. Last night, we baptized 5 men. Hallelujah. Can I hear it? Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessing. And I was sitting there. I had to extend the service a little bit because I told the people who were there visiting, I said, you know, we'll get out of here at 8. Unless we have some baptisms and I'm running a little bit late. And I had somebody come up to me and I said, hey, this guy wants to be baptized. And I'm like, and usually I can do it, you know, and just kind of fit it into the time. And I didn't have my leader's guide. You know, I didn't have the text, the script, how to baptize. Step one. Okay, good. Step two. But it reached a point I was just praying and God said, baptize him. So I asked. And not only did one man raise his hand, but 4 others joined him. I'm blessed to be part of this ministry. You too are part of this ministry. Thank you for your support. Amen. Oh, go out and tell somebody. Jesus. Do you know my Jesus?